Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, and the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." He placed his hands on their heads and blessed them before he left. And Paul writes in Ephesians, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism." Well, we've almost made it. Here we are, week number 6. That's a long sermon series. And if you've been here all 6 weeks, God bless you. It's been a chore for some of us. I wasn't even here all 6 weeks. I missed one of them as well. As we come to this series where we've called it way too much, as in God loves you just the way you are, but way too much to let you stay that way. Our friend Jesse over here, he wasn't here last year, guys, was he? When he came to see us, he's here, he's new with us. He's scared me to death about 5 times as I've walked into the room. He has modeled for us, literally modeled for us, how the core areas of our lives impact and are impacted by our intentional choices. He's modeled for us the spiritual dimension of our lives, that we are spirit beings, and he wears the heart on his chest to symbolize that. He's modeled for us our physical being and health, represented by the sneakers around his neck, and how we have to work intentionally to improve and maintain our good health so we can have the vitality God wants us to have, living in his way too much kind of love. Jesse's cell phone points out our relationships with each other, with God, and even ourselves, and how they lead to the heart. You see the rope there. Just as blood flows to the heart, it flows from the heart, and as our relationships are healthy or not, they impact the heart, our spirit being, and that comes then out, and our heart can send out, our spiritual life and relationships can send out into every other relationship, that which can bring transformation for folks around us as well. And finally, last Sunday, Jesse, we added to Jesse a fistful of $50 bills. Did anybody come up and look at those $50 bills last week after the service? I mean, we told you they were fake, but sometimes folks don't believe preachers. But they're all still there, so I assume that you came and found out for yourselves they weren't real. But those represented for us our relationship with money, how we see and deal with our financial lives, and how that relationship impacts who we are. And God will transform our relationship with our finances. And all of this, we've been pointing to the fact that it's not just done by our own strength, our own decision, but to God's desire for us this year in 2017 to transform us in all these areas of our lives as we give God permission and do our part. So what happens now? I mean, we've gotten ready for the race. We've talked about all these areas. We may have learned something along the way, and as we've prepared ourselves, we've taken our marks. We come now poised at the starting line. You can just feel the bands of the muscles, the sinews all coiled and ready to jump, and so we're set. All that's left now is to go. It's time to go. It's time to live into God's way too much plan for us, of being intentional for our part and giving God permission to do what God wants to do, to grow us. The issue is that he, though he has the power to change us in every way, cannot, if we don't give him permission. So we're at a very important moment here. It's not just the conclusion of a sermon series. It's at a point of time to mark and identify as making a decision to live intentionally in all these areas of our lives, to allow God to do in us and through us and for us what he chooses to do. Important watershed moments are almost always marked by memorable events, sort of like driving a stake into the ground to be a witness. Every time we see that stake, we say, that reminds me of this event, this relationship, this change in my life. In current day, stakes you might identify like that would be things like diplomas, marriage licenses and ceremonies and rings, 5-year pins, retirement watches. Do they still give those? And reminders like sobriety chips, 1 year or 2 year or 3 year for folks who have been clean and sober for each succeeding year. Throughout the Bible, these life-changing events or moments or decisions in response to God's call are often marked by baptism. So let's look just for a moment at what baptism is and what it does in our lives. First of all, let me say that baptism, there's nothing magical. The water is not magic. Nothing in the actual act is magical. It is symbolic. It's an outward and visible sign of what is happening in the life of faith of the person being baptized. When we take the vows that we take at baptism, the act itself is kind of a sealing the deal with God. It's a binding together. Baptism is a public event to where you come and one comes and stands before the world, the congregation in this case, and says, I'm going public to say without embarrassment or shame, I am a believer in Jesus Christ and I will live according to these vows that I'm taking, that I might represent him and experience him in my life. The use of water symbolizes death and resurrection. If one is immersed in the water, or even if they're poured water over them or the sprinkling, any of those models, those methods, it's the idea of being buried to my old life, my old self, run by my own wisdom, and falling down again and again and again, and being raised up in resurrection to a new life in Christ with a new identity. I have died to my old self. I have raised up to live now in Christ, for Christ, Christ within me. People of any age can be baptized. When an adult chooses to be baptized, it's clear to see that as he or she comes and takes those vows, that person is saying, God, I want to be yours. And God offers hand of relationship. That person takes the hand and lives in that relationship. But when little children are baptized, it's a little different. But only really in terms of the time that it takes for the progression to evolve. God is still offering relationship to this infant or small child, but the child cannot answer for herself or himself those questions, those vows, take them, but their parents do on their behalf. Taking these vows that they will live to teach their truths of the Bible, to teach them who God is, and to model before their children what a life of faith looks like. Until such time that the child, which is the expectation, the child goes through a confirmation process. In fact, we're going through confirmation process right now in this congregation for those who are sixth graders, is that right? Sixth graders? When the child's old enough to begin to ask the right questions and learn and understand the things of faith, then he or she, going through confirmation, will then come to a moment and receive opportunity to answer questions, to take the vows for themselves, confirming the vows their parents took on their behalf. That's why it's called confirmation. But the process is the same. As a little one, God offers his hand unilaterally. The child hasn't deserved it, hasn't earned it, can't earn it. Neither can the adult. God offers the hand. The child, under the care of his parents, is carried through that time until he or she can receive that gift, fully understanding and taking on through confirmation that relationship in their lives. Baptism allows the community of faith to celebrate the person being baptized. It calls us all to be accountable, to live my life before you as one who is baptized, to make sure that you look at me and find me to be a good example, or at least not a stumbling block to confuse you, a bad example. Be accountable to each other. Called to be those who encourage and protect, to walk alongside the one who's been baptized as they grow and live in God's way too much kind of love. Now, the forms used in baptism have varied throughout the years, history, and situation. From immersion, and some of you may have been baptized by being immersed in a lake or a river or a sanctuary or a swimming pool, or you have various options. I've done all of those things for folks. So there's that method of immersion. There have been in times pouring water from pitchers three times over the head of those being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or through simply sprinkling of water over the head of the one being baptized. But understand this, while there may be certain methods that some congregations prefer, those are all simply mechanics. And one over the other doesn't vary in terms of what the deep importance of baptism is. Now, our goal for this series has been to make ourselves aware that our relationship with God is all-encompassing. It's not just for Sunday morning. It's for our work lives and our family lives, and our social lives, and our physical lives, and our financial lives. And if you can think of another part of your life, it's for that too. And to understand as well that true transformation comes only by God's power. We can't do it on our own. We began the series talking about resolutions and how those always fall short, because those are always done in our own power. God wants to offer something more than that. Now, as God offers to do something more in our lives, our part of that transformation is to make ourselves available. Our hearts, our sneakers, our cell phones, our money. Giving God permission to do what he wants to do in our lives. Now, it is true that God loves you and me just the way we are. And that's okay. And we can stay just the way we are, and we will be loved by God. But God loves you and me so much, he doesn't want to let us stay the way we are. He wants to change us, grow us, as we allow him to do that.